This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Boldy skates onto it in the corner. Centering pass, Kachuk. Check from behind. Tries a back shot. Score! Held in by Faber at the right point. Long shot. Score! Team USA takes the lead. Zone entry. Score! Long wrister from Kachuk. Just like that. Austin Matthews off to Gensel. Score! Matthews to Gensel. Michael to Kachuk. Score! Second of the game for Brady Kachuk. Orensky shoots. Score! On the rebound, the second on the power play for Matthew Kachuk.
Four Nations Friday. Team USA wins. The Kachuk brothers, impressive in this game. Like an eagle. Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe. What's up? How are you? It's cold, but it looks nice out there.
It does look. Yeah, looks like I got to see some sunlight, which is a rarity, it feels like, nowadays.
It's like Arendelle out there. Arendelle.
Arendelle?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's Elsa's kingdom in Frozen.
Oh.
Everything's covered in ice.
Right. Wasn't it melting out there right now? Probably.
I don't know. It's sunny, but I don't know if it's warm enough to melt.
It's cold enough to keep it. Yeah. All right.
It's 20, and the real feel is 7.
Okay.
It's cold out there.
Have you ever had to drive without windshield washer fluid?
Yeah, it's not advisable. You have to pull over and get snow and rub it on your windshield. Is that what you did?
I basically had to do that because I thought I saw -5 is like the lowest temperature on what I put in, but apparently not because... The washer fluid I put in like a week ago continues to freeze, or was freezing.
I thought the whole idea was it can't freeze.
That's what I thought, but it kept freezing. So I'd be driving down the thruway and just, you can't, it's nothing's coming out. And then, of course, cars have this thing, and this is all cars, when you hit the washer fluid, your wipers automatically start going.
Yeah.
Which was making things worse because when nothing came out, now I'm just spreading the dirt back and forth. So yeah, I had to pull off. I bought a new one and I just dumped it on the top. Almost impossible to drive without washer fluid in these times.
Not a good idea.
Gotta have it. I've since replaced that fluid though, but not advisable.
U.S. Canada tomorrow, 8 p.m. That'll be a fun one. Fun thing you can do, I'll save you the time here. I went to NHL.com. There's a lot of coverage of the Four Nations. And in here is a Four Nations face-off blog from Jake Gensel.
Okay. Of Team USA.
Have you ever done it? 9 times out of 10, If you read an NHL player's blog about an experience, you know what you're getting?
Nothing.
You're getting a fifth grader's book report.
When Owen Power did a blog, when they went to Prague, it was like...
It's like, listen.
No offense to Owen Power.
No.
Just like,
if these guys don't want to do this, hey, buddy, can you string together 100 words on Prague?
Oh, my gosh. It was just nothing. There was nothing in it.
Right.
At all.
Here's Gensel. Gensel's is, as for playing Canada on Saturday, we are just going to enjoy tonight and move on, and that's all you can do. That's a really good team over there. You just have to make sure you're on top of it. My family got in. My wife got in. I'm just going to hang out with them and sit back and relax. I haven't had a day off in a while. It will be nice. So I will chill out, get some things done, and just walk around the city.
Isn't this a hockey player? Are hockey players the most boring people in the world?
I don't want to say that. I think they're the opposite. But I think
they act like this more.
When they are asked to do something media-wise, it's...
They don't give you anything.
No. I don't think they're boring. I think that they have to be very...
Very protective of how they actually are.
Yes.
Because, like, you don't get to see... Some of these behind-the-scenes things, you're starting, like, McDavid in the Cup Finals, right, where he is screaming at his team.
Right, and wasn't that for everybody a whoa kind of moment?
Yeah.
Whoa, the quietest guy on earth does that?
But he's only quiet in front of us.
Right.
And there is a behind-the-scenes thing of this tournament. I saw a preview of it. I don't know where it's going to be on, but there's going to be, like, a behind-the-scenes thing of this tournament. And Marchand in the locker room... Like, giving Crosby, you know, whatever, and, like, he wasn't even, like, getting mad about things. It was more like, I can't believe how much fun it is just to watch this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was good. But you don't really see that. You wouldn't hear the same thing if he was just talking to a reporter or doing a blog at NHL.com, I guess, either. A lot of it is just so useless with the hockey players. So useless.
803-0550 to join us. Milton in Buffalo. Hey, Milton.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to expand on what y'all was talking about, like how in the NBA they could come with different teams. What about, like, the best of the Big East, best of the ACC, Big 12, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my second thing is, after you expand on that, could you explain to me the hockey thing right now? Like, what they got? I mean, do they have to play, like, the best of a couple of games or something?
You know, thanks, Nolan, for bringing this up. So, on the conference thing, I love the conference idea if the conference has stayed what they were. Like, if you graduated and played in the Big East and the Big East is gone, are we doing – you could just do that. You could do – that's what
we're – If you went to USC, what do you want to do? You want to be – Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore.
But to this point, this tournament represents that it doesn't matter. Are all of the best players in the world at this tournament? No. Czechia is not represented.
No.
Russia is not represented. But who cares?
Also, there are weird rulings about, like, who can play for who, right? Like, where, like, Jason Pominville was born in Quebec and he played for Team USA.
Right.
Like,
but put that aside. What the Four Nations says is, like, who cares? We got four teams full of awesome players. And the idea I suggested last segment was about, you know, have the NBA do it. Milton says conferences. Oh, it's not perfect. Who cares?
Right.
What the Four Nations does give, and where the conference thing might fall short, and why I thought the idea of playing for schools would matter, is what would a player actually care about? Would a player care about playing for the pride of the old Big East? No. Would he play for Villanova? If I put together a starting five from a 3-on-3, the NBA does a 3-on-3 tournament with colleges as the thing. Okay, Victor Wembanyama can't be in it. Sorry. Great. He's not in it. But do I have something that's better than the All-Star game? I really might. That's part of this. What Michael Wilbon bringing this up saying NBA should ditch the All-Star game. The NHL ditched the All-Star game for this, and what we have is something way better than the All-Star game. So
way better.
Way better.
So much better.
So the NBA, which is, you know, pretty progressive on a lot of things and trying new things, they tried the Elam ending in the All-Star game. That was awesome. It was different.
The Elam ending was what again?
The Elam ending is the mathematical formula that you start the fourth quarter down by a certain number of points based on where you were.
And okay.
Or you go into the fourth quarter, you're down 15. Instead of a clock, there's a target score. And you have to go get the target score. You're down 50. You have to score 15 more points than them.
Okay.
So that no matter what happens, the game has an not a buzzer beater. There's a shot to win the game no matter what.
Right.
Instead of a slog to try and get through 12 minutes with fouls and all that. Fouling doesn't help. You're not saving clock. The Elam ending was awesome the year that they did it, and I wish they would do it more. So that's one part of it. And then, Milton, to your other part, I had this thought. It's too bad you didn't know the U.S. and Canada were going to make the final. You still don't know if they will. Isn't it too bad that the final isn't the best out of three? Or a two-game aggregate? A two-game aggregate would have been, we add one more game, and we make it a two-night event.
Right.
Because if it gets to be U.S.-Canada for the win, that'll be great. I'll wish it was a series.
The way the NHL usually operates with that, though, is they often will feel... I feel like they think more about what the worst-case scenario is than what the best-case scenario is.
That's right.
Because the best-case scenario in a two-game aggregate series is awesome. It's amazing.
Right. And the worst case is 6-0 after one.
And no one cares about the second game.
Well, you say that as someone that watched Liverpool come back from what on Barcelona?
They were down four
to nothing?
Yeah.
And they won?
It's the greatest game I've ever seen as a fan of that team. It was because they were down. You went into the second game knowing they were down. I should know the score. I think it was four.
I think
it might have been three. No, they needed four to win. They needed four to win. They were down 3-0, I think, going into it.
And then they won maybe 5-4 on aggregate?
That sounds right, yeah. Or maybe 4-3 on aggregate, whatever it was. It was insane. And they were down huge going into the second game.
I'm a fan of any time we get a sporting event kind of invented, it is a reminder that these leagues can just do whatever you want. You can create a trophy and just play for it in Montreal and Boston. And look at this. It's a good product. So that was the idea for the NBA about colleges. I don't know if it's perfect, but how could I get the best on the best to play for pride and not have, all-star game, blech.
Yeah, I don't need an all-star game ever again. I don't need it. I know the kids like it, so I'm good with it existing, but I just would prefer something else.
Greg points out the basketball tournament kind of already does this, right? TBT, the basketball tournament, that's Boeheim's Army.
A lot of the UB guys got together, like the Oates teams, like Nick Perkins, Massenburg. Like, I think those guys play in that still.
Yeah.
They've won it, I think.
And those are, they play.
Yeah.
They play hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, 803-0550 to join us. And 1-888-552-550. I had one other thing I was going to mention there, and I forget what it was. Anyway.
About creating tournaments and stuff like that? Formats?
Yeah.
I'm liking a lot of the new stuff they just create on a whim. TGL.
Make it up.
Yeah, go ahead. all these guys creating golf tournaments. Tiger's got his tournament this week. It should get more different golf events. Like, give me an alternate shot event.
Speaking of golf, it's golf season. I mean, not here, but the Genesis is an elevated event. And Sunday evening, final round, let's go. I'm ready to watch. I am ready to sit there and watch my son yell, make a putt onto the television and see if he still does that. He did that, 2 years ago.
Yep.
But he loves to watch golf. I'm excited to put some golf on, get in the mood, then look outside and see that we live on a glacier. But, we're getting there.
Thank goodness for simulators, man.
We're getting there.
That they exist.
So I had a thought. I had an idea of a little game we could play.
Okay.
Because... There was a clip that also went around yesterday. This is, again, as we're branching off into not quite niche stuff, but different stuff. There's a soccer podcast that broached an idea, and we got a clip from this podcast. What's the name of the show, Josh? I don't even know the name of the show. I sent him the link. I don't even know the name of the show. A couple of guys with accents talk about soccer in the U.S., but also football.
Is it the Men in Blazers podcast?
It's not that one. Okay. It's Bubs and something, or
all right.
Muggsy and Bugsy, or...
Muggsy and Bugsy.
I'm sorry. I'd
tell you, but there's an ad.
Okay, there's an ad. As soon as the ad's over, he's going to tell us what the name of the podcast is. But they're talking about Champions League and how the Dolphins owner is doing things that indicate he might want to bring a Champions League final to the U.S.
You have already working with relevant, there's some sort of partnership agreement in the U.S. So the thinking is, surely... Mr. Ross is going to want to have the Champions League final in the U.S. because it suits him because of this. I think you're going 2 + 2 = 5. I don't think the Champions League final is moving to the U.S. for a very, very long time. Probably not in our lifetimes.
You know what? I give you the Champions League final. Give me the Super Bowl.
in Paris, in London, I think the Super Bowl. Yeah, let's do that. You want the Champions League final? No problem. Give us the Super Bowl.
I'm going to go on the record now. We will have a Super Bowl in Europe before we have a Champions League final in the U.S.
Okay, so there you go. That's what they got to. Super Bowl will go to Europe before a Champions League final comes to the U.S. First question on a Super Bowl in Europe. Yeah. How mad would you be about it? Time zones become a thing. Isn't it more likely? I saw odds yesterday, live odds on the international city most likely to host a Super Bowl. Would you like to guess the favorite?
London.
No.
Paris.
No.
Are you asking because it's like an odd one?
It's not odd, but as soon as
it's not like Budapest.
Nope. As soon as I tell you the name, you will quickly arrive at why it's the favorite. International city, most likely, according to the betting odds, to host a Super Bowl first.
It's in Europe?
No.
Is it Riyadh?
No.
Like, it's not Saudi Arabia?
It is not.
Because that, I feel like, is not unheard of either.
Dublin? No. Dublin's in Europe.
Oh, right. Beijing?
No.
Toronto?
Not Toronto, but now you're getting warmer.
So it's in Canada?
No.
Mexico City?
Mexico City. Why is that the answer?
Because of time zones.
Yes, time zones.
You can keep the game at 6 o'clock if you want, Eastern time.
Yep, it's not hard to get all four time zones to line up and also have the event be at a reasonable time. Think about
how worried should they be about that, though? They own that day. If the Super Bowl's at 3:30 in the afternoon, they're not going to lose ratings, are they? Everyone's still doing Super Bowl parties.
3:30 in the afternoon on the East Coast?
Yeah.
So it's at 11:30 in the morning on the West Coast?
Oh, crap. I forgot
you don't want to do that.
Sometimes I forget the West Coast exists with
and now if
like
I put it as late as I possibly can, let's say it goes to 3:30 on the West Coast, 6:30 on the East. That's usually what it is
right
in that neighborhood. What time is that in London? 10:30 p.m.?
10:30, yeah.
Am I having it's a little bit of a roadblock. That's why Mexico City was listed as the favorite. Toronto doesn't have a stadium for it. Not going to have it at Rogers, what's it called now? Scotiabank, whatever.
Scotiabank.
They don't have a stadium or whatever. So that's why Mexico City, I think, is listed as the favorite. Which, I mean, when they have games there.
Estadio Azteca?
I believe so.
Yeah.
When they have games there, there's constant questions about the turf. It's not good enough. Yeah. And it's also at altitude.
But this would be, you know, it's a Super Bowl. It would be you're planning on this for months. Right? Like the grass there versus like a regular season game where, you know, what? Remember the story there was that they moved the game in Mexico City a couple years ago because they had a concert there a couple days before and that screwed everything up. Like if you're going to a Super Bowl there would have to be an agreement like no events at the stadium for 3 weeks before the game happens or something like that. Okay. I don't know that the benefit of having the Super Bowl in Mexico City is what we're still just growing the game internationally. Like, because to me, I always feel like that's kind of a cover for international games, the NFL being because they want it in different time slots, which they don't have to do for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, they play in London because they want to own the 9:30 to 12 o'clock window on a Sunday morning.
Is that why they do it?
Yes. It's more TV ratings. It's more eyeballs. It's another window
you sell,
to just own.
You sell streaming rights.
You sell streaming, right? You sold it to Yahoo originally, and now who's got it?
So with that all in mind, what happens first? Champions League final in the U.S. or the Super Bowl in Europe?
I would say Champions League final in the U.S. Soccer is, I guess it is kind of the same, isn't it? Like they've been coming here for preseason stuff as long as the NFL's been going there,
right? But it's always preseason. It's not in-season stuff. It's exhibitions.
I would say here because I feel like just from a financial standpoint, you're gaining more by winning over the U.S. market for your league than the NFL would be by winning over Europe. Not to say Europe isn't adding monetary value to them, but it's a bigger marketplace.
Yeah.
I would see the Champions League chasing a bigger marketplace more. And actually, wouldn't the time zone stuff work better for them going this way than it would the other way?
It depends. I mean, the Champions League final is around the world. I mean, that's going...
Right.
I mean, it's a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah, everywhere. Everywhere. So I would say here. I would say it's more likely the Champions League final would be played here than... I disagree. I think Super Bowl will be played in an international city in our lifetime.
I do, too.
I guess, though, I'm just more thinking about, like, it's just because the Saudi Arabians are going to spend $1 trillion to bring it there like they're doing with every other sport. All the big fights are there now.
Yeah.
Canelo Alvarez, he's a new fight deal. Where is it? Riyadh.
Right.
Four of them. Yep. This is where it happens.
All right, I got another one for you. Which happens first? So Champions League final U.S. or Super Bowl in Europe, which happens first? You say...
I think Champions League happens first.
Which happens first? The NHL implements the 3-2-1 point system, which they are flirting with, or the NHL fully ditches the shootout, which I think they are also flirting with a 10-minute overtime period.
The latter. I think they'll get rid of the shootout first. I don't believe they're ever going to 3-2-1. I want them to, and I'm even love the idea that we can flirt with it because they're doing it here. I don't believe they'll ever fully do it. Ever.
Eliminating the shootout means that you do 3-on-3 until it ends. And if they're willing to go 10 minutes, and if you know there's no shootout coming, how many games would last 3-on-3 past 10 minutes?
None, right?
Right.
Few, very few.
Can you even imagine the idea, if you want to talk about, you know, players and load management, can you imagine a 3-on-3 going scoreless for 20 minutes and going to double overtime? The players, half the players wouldn't even play, and the ones that did.
Well, eventually, maybe you would start putting guys out there that don't normally play.
Maybe,
would you?
But if you're going 20 minutes 3-on-3, then I promise you nobody skated hard in that period. That's the other thing. It might as well be a cool down skate.
I mean, the goalies could just be incredible, couldn't they? To keep it going.
Well, that's the thing.
They'd have to be insane.
If you're gonna ditch the shootout, you need to have the 3-on-3 be endless. Because the NHL, I think, does not want to go back to ties. And I certainly do not want them to go back to ties.
Right.
I think a tie is a non-starter for the NHL.
Could you do the thing that's been proposed where, or someone's had the idea of it, where after 5 minutes you go down to 2-on-2, and then after another 5 minutes you go down to 1-on-1? Because then you're never, not that you would even with 3-on-3, but 1-on-1, somebody is scoring.
You would think.
Right?
All right.
Is there a sport, though, that has it where it's technically endless? Like the NFL, there is a tie eventually.
Right.
The NBA, I guess it is technically endless.
Baseball. Baseball is endless.
So I guess really all of them are. College football is endless, right? Hypothetically.
Yes.
So I wouldn't have to be – I wouldn't want to be scared of that, I guess. Go down to 2-on-2 and 1-on-1 if you're really afraid of it. Play 10 minutes of 3-on-3 and then start taking guys off the ice.
Yep.
And you know what? Maybe have a rule at the end. You know what? If you guys have gone 30 minutes without scoring, it's a tie. I'm going to get one of those every 5 years. It's a tie. Go ahead. Neither of you get the win. Or you're going to come back tomorrow and play again. I don't know.
Yeah. George tweets in that Stadium Azteca is being completely redone for the World Cup. Maybe they are
getting a Super Bowl then.
Maybe. Maybe that's why it's a betting favorite to get a Super Bowl.
Wait, so they're redoing it for the World Cup. Is anyone in Canada redoing a stadium for the World Cup? Because they also are going to be host cities.
They are.
Are they going to play at Rogers Center?
They're going to play at they're not going to play at BMO Field. I mean, that's a big soccer stadium. It's pretty big.
This is the soccer stadium in Toronto. How many does that hold?
45,000. 50,000?
30,000. They're expanding it to 40 for the World Cup.
40,000.
So they are actually putting work into it for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're not playing the Super Bowl there.
No.
So, I guess they don't really have a stadium anywhere. Is there one in Vancouver? That makes sense?
No. There's
no mega stadium in Canada.
There is,
anywhere.
But not suitable for a Super Bowl, no.
They'll have to build one.
Yeah, why not?
Build it for a one-off event. Come. Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. I got WWE highlights on SportsCenter. We're talking about the Champions League.
Wow, they really have got – this is slow season for ESPN. They're doing Four Nations and WWE on Get Up This Morning.
You got to love it.
That's insane.
ESPN desperately needs a wide receiver to post something cryptic.
That's true.
Just quick.
They should be talking about James Cook. Or they'll be talking about the combine in 2 weeks, won't they?
Yes. Yes. And man, the lift that they're gonna have to pull off to get Shedeur Sanders to be like a controversial top pick.
You heard Connor. Like Connor's like, I would never pick him that high, but he's gonna be gone by 7.
I already saw one prediction, I forget who it was, saying the thing that's gonna happen at the draft is you're gonna see Shedeur Sanders have the Aaron Rodgers happen to him. Where's he going to go? Is it 1? Is it 3?
And he's going to fall.
And he goes like second round.
Yeah, Brady Quinn fell. Manziel fell, right?
Yep.
That
he's
going to
be waiting
Tebow.
In the green room, and the league is going to say,
okay,
and not a high pick, man. We'll see. Somebody might do it. 803-0550. Maybe you take him in your February Fix Fantasy Draft. Mike Shope's going to be joining us next to talk about.
We'll talk about. We have an interesting quirk in our league.
Okay.
That maybe your league out there might want to consider for this year.
I'd like to have a draft. I'd do it soon.
Yeah.
I got into my fantasy wasteland. Nothing happens until April. I got to get roster sizes down in Dynasty.
You want to go come co-run this team tomorrow?
Co-run?
Yeah. Co-draft?
Have to like buy a share of the team?
Sure. Selling a minority stake.
I buy
49% is the most I'll
I buy 49% of your entry fee and I'm entitled to 49% of the profits?
Yep.
I mean, listen, if you are offering...
I could use a college scouting department. I don't know about these rookies.
I'll cover the wide receivers.
Rookie receivers.
Oh, yeah, we'll be stacked.
Rookie receiver specialist.
We'll be so stacked. Be ready for that. All right, 803-0550 to join us here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe, on a Four Nations Friday. I don't have football Fridays.
Not anymore.
Sal asked a good question about James Cook real quickly, that you think he's hurting his case by going public with wanting $15 million a year. I don't. And he had a bunch of calls yesterday talking about that. Hey, maybe his brother's putting him up to it. I wouldn't think that either. I think Cook knows what he's doing. And has a compelling case, and he has a brother that's been through it before him to kind of show him you kind of have to do what you got to do here. And if you go public, then you go public. But, I mean, are we thinking the Bills are less likely to sign him because of that? Because I don't.
I don't think their number changes.
No,
that they would do it at based on him posting on Instagram.
And if the big thing that players say is they let you be you, then that would apply here too. Go for it, man. Just don't, you know, try not to embarrass us. Go ahead and ask for $15 million. 803-0550. Anyway, to the Wester Hotline, Mr. Mike Shope of the Afternoon Show is on with us to chat.
Because we have a fantasy draft.
I was going to say,
February 15th.
I'm checking the calendar here. A fantasy football draft in February, known as the February Fix.
The greatest one we've ever done. This league is into its ninth year. Nobody has ever dropped out, literally, and it's the latest one we've ever done.
Wow.
February 15th is the latest.
This is the latest the draft's ever been?
Yes. Yes.
So
we used to do these before the Bills got pretty. We would always do these the day before the Super Bowl, but then, like, Sal is in the league. Hey, guys, I might have to go. This year, I don't know, maybe all of us would have gone. So it's just been safer to put it off a week.
So it's the February Fix League, and that's to what? Fix the
get your fix.
Get your fix get for, your for drafting fix. Fantasy teams is pretty much the idea.
That's correct. Well, I mean, you could maybe the fix would apply better in, like, March or April, when you're more distant from last season, but that's what we, you know, the F's, right? February Fix.
Yep.
So
yeah, it couldn't be the March Fix. It wouldn't have the same hit to it. Is this year any weirder for you than others? Like, I've got 3-4 players that I'm like, so I'm picking 13th in this thing, and like Bucky Irving, Brian Thomas Jr., like guys that are completely worth, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, feel like are all worthy of first round picks, and I'm mentally and just not thinking of them yet as like the number one player on a roster.
Yes, interesting. And we're 14 teams for the first time.
Right.
We expanded. So there'll be a couple of guys that get into our first round, even perhaps Ashton Jeanty, who has yet to play down in the NFL. What's different? I mean, I've drafted 15 or 20 teams so far for this year or for next year. And it's really like the opposite of last year, where the older running backs who killed it, like starting with Saquon Barkley, are getting much more respect. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, even like Kamara and Connor, these guys that they beat the odds. I mean, they stayed on the field and had great years for their fantasy owners, whereas a lot of receivers kind of busted. You think about like Olave or Jalen Waddle, who were second-round picks last year and didn't get there for you at all. So depending on the format, this year is more respect for those running backs. I'm still avoiding them, mostly, I will tell you, because I still think the odds are bad. They're worse that next year, a year older, guys like Henry and Barkley and Joe Mixon are going to be that productive. I got lucky in our Shopes and Dreams League because I had old running backs who I bet on the year before and kind of did nothing. And then last year, they sort of all lined up and had great seasons.
Joe and I both looked at each other. You sure did get real lucky in the League of Shopes and Dreams.
The roster.
Juba Hubbard.
Zacchaeus.
QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1, neighbors Mixon, Juba Hubbard.
The Stars win.
Yeah, it was not an everybody eats philosophy, was it?
No, well, yeah. Only you eat. One person eats. That's it.
That's right.
Alpha dogs.
Yeah.
I'm buying an Olamide Zacchaeus jersey for his performance in the yes. fantasy finals.
Yes. Mike Shope on the Western Hotline, some fantasy chatter here.
So this is 14 teams, and it's two quarterbacks.
Was there,
forgive
me, was there an RFP put out for proposals for expansion into this league? Because I'm looking through my papers here, guys. I didn't get an invitation. I'm just saying, you know.
So last year, one of our original owners couldn't make it. He had a wedding. I feel like a wedding is a good enough excuse. There are many, but you have a wedding, okay. Mm-hmm. So I filled it with another friend, and then there's been one close friend of ours, who we all know, that's been knocking on the door, banging on the door to be in this league, like, since year two. So I called on him, but I appreciate your interest.
It is also, if you want a future proposal, it is the type of league where you could have an odd number because there are not matchups.
True.
Joe,
the quarterback thing was a challenge, Joe. I mean,
yes.
We are 14. And so what we're doing is you're drafting team QBs
right. Instead
of players. So
because there's not going to be enough starting quarterbacks really for everybody to go around and have it be fair.
Right. Right. So there'll be four. It'll be exactly 28 team quarterbacks that get picked. That will encompass the rookies too. So you're not going to be drafting Cam Ward tomorrow. If you draft who? Cleveland quarterback, then you'll get him if they draft him.
Right. Obviously. And really, are there, what's the number? How many jobs right now, I mean, for our league, that actually helps this, that you're picking the team and not the individuals? Because if we were picking the individuals, again, maybe this is just recency bias and this isn't that different from the past, but how many teams right now do we just have no idea who their week one starter is? I mean, it's at least a few.
It's like eight, I think. It's a lot. That doesn't even include Indianapolis, who maybe there's a question there, but you're right. Guys like Aaron Rodgers and Cousins, you know, they might be drafted in this thing normally, but now you don't have to really worry about it. The Browns and the Giants, who will probably draft one, I would think.
Yep. The Jets.
Titans, Raiders.
Steelers.
And a couple others. Steelers, that's right. A couple others.
Yeah. So basically, okay, so we take that risk out of it, and then what do you think of Ashton Jeanty without giving away your draft strategy? Because last year when would the first rookie running back have been picked in this league for us? Like last year wasn't the year for that.
Oh my,
super
no,
late.
Right. The only one running back was picked in the first two rounds of the NFL draft, and that was Jonathan Brooks off a torn ACL.
Right, and so, now he might miss a part of 2025. By the way,
that's right.
I remember the first year.
I'll say on Jeanty.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say on Jeanty in underdog drafts, which have been up and running for a couple of weeks, it's fun. He goes like 15, around like pick 15, right next to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So you have sort of an ideological choice to make in the early second round between a rookie and last year's consensus 101. One of the best fantasy players ever.
That's a great.
I feel like I would be bullish on Jeanty just because he's going to get drafted in the first round. He's going to get drafted. Like,
Jameer, might get drafted probably top 10, right?
Right, and I feel like Bijan had to split time early on, but has still been pretty productive, and Gibbs splits time, and it's been productive. Any team that takes him, like I can remember, Mike, the Najee Harris draft. People loved that because it's, a running back in Pittsburgh. And he of course, got volume, too. I would expect Jeanty, if he goes pretty high, to be productive in his rookie season. His missed tackle rate is what, Joe, like 30% higher than anybody else in college football.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredible player, and if he goes high, he's probably going to get fed.
Great point. You'd hope so. It's actually, you're saying the right names. It's actually since Barkley, since a rookie in the first round mm-hmm. went to a team and then just actually was their three down running back. I mean, Bijan wasn't, and Travis Etienne got hurt, and, you know, like, Gibbs wasn't. As good as Gibbs is, there was Montgomery. So, as a fantasy player, I'm like, can this just be sort of a normal one where he goes to, like, Dallas, and he's on the field all the time? That's the 12th pick. I think that's, at this point, it sounds like that's the latest he'll go.
The first pick I ever made in this league was Barkley in the first round as a rookie. And
That's the first pick I ever made in Chokes and Dreams as a rookie.
Was Barkley? Right now,
on
Jeanty, Bovada has odds up on him. He is, so that's offshore, but minus 170 to go to the Cowboys. Who I think picked 12.
Well, sort of obvious, right? If you're drafting Jeanty, that's what you want, I think. It's Brian Schottenheimer.
Right.
That's what you want. I don't, like a lot of other situations, you know, most situations in the league now, you know, you'd expect a timeshare.
All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Have a review of the Four Nations?
I enjoyed it. It's a home run. I mean, I wondered going into it if there would be the necessary motivation from the players and just what it would look like. But when you said this morning how Canada-Sweden was like the highest rated game in the States, that said a lot. Kachuk, one of the Kachuks, is calling tomorrow's game the biggest of his life.
Brady Kachuk said that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was. It's a great watch. So, good for hockey, for once.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Joe, you guys were talking earlier, like, is the fact that they haven't run one of these for 9 years contributing 100%. I mean, mm-hmm. the Kachuks, it was said last night, have never been on a team together. You know, this could have been, like, their fifth time, and we wouldn't care. So the mm-hmm. absence of this kind of tournament does help it.
Yep. Nope. I think I agree. That makes the heart grow fonder on international hockey. I like it. Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. See you guys.
Yep. All right. See you tomorrow.
Mike Shope, you have a fantasy draft tomorrow. Location?
13th pick will be at Bright Smith Brewing. It'll be fun.
All right.
What am I going to do with 13? Would I pick Ashton Jeanty at 13 over, like, Christian
it's
McCaffrey?
It's a straight redraft, right? So you're just
straight redraft. Okay, so just for this season, not knowing what team he's on. Like, McCaffrey, again, you have most of you are going to have, almost all, you're going to have 7 months to figure this out. He is 30 and coming off two injuries, an Achilles tendonitis. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it. He actually got hurt in the Bills game, didn't he? Isn't that where he got the season-ending injury? He came back, and then I thought he got hurt against the Bills.
That sounds right.
And then never came back.
Extendo Sports coming up. We have another, I think, potentially cool sporting event with one NFL player and one Olympic star. They say they're going to do it. We'll tell you what that is next.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, a couple things to catch up on as we talk about, I guess, fringe sporting events. Tyreek Hill and Noah Lyles say they will race.
Okay.
Noah Lyles is, of course, the fastest man in the world, right? Won the 100-meter dash. He's the one that tweeted, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA Finals and they have a world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? And NBA players got mad at him for that. He was, of course, right. We say world champs for a league that's just a league in one.
They did not like that, though.
They got mad at him about that.
They got very mad at him.
He became like an enemy of the states because of that. Anyway, Tyreek Hill says he's going to race him. They both say they are eager to race. Hill says he represents the NFL and the great athletes of the NFL. Lyles says you could never do on the track what he can do. Of course, Hill wanted the race over 40 yards. Lyles says he wants to do it 100 meters. There's no distance over which Hill is likely to beat Lyles, but a race between the two would get plenty of attention. I would watch it.
He did almost lose to like a TikToker recently. I don't know how seriously he took it, but there was like a 100-meter thing. Him and, have you heard of Speed, I believe is his name?
If someone is on TikTok
YouTuber,
primarily,
YouTuber,
I,
TikTok.
I've not heard of this person, if that's their claim to fame.
His name is Speed.
Oh, no. I've heard of Speed, but not that person named Speed.
No, the person named Speed.
My question is, do either of you know about or remember, and those of you out there listening, the Fox special that was Man versus Beast?
Ooh. Maybe. I might.
In 2003, Man versus Beast happened. It was a show on Fox.
I slightly remember this. Very slightly.
Maybe if I tell you the events that were part of this, you may remember it.
Okay.
Kobayashi had a hot dog eating contest against a Kodiak bear.
Okay.
Let me know if you remember any of these.
That one I don't.
Josh, this was on television.
But that sounds amazing.
The only thing I remember Man vs. Beast is like Michael Phelps when he raced a shark. And that was in like 2012.
That happened too.
I don't remember that one.
But that was like, it wasn't a real shark.
Well, no, but it was like a simulated, like, this is what a shark would do.
Man vs. Beast was against real, it was real
these
animals.
These really happened.
I remember something like involving a lion.
Okay, well, here you go. A U.S. Navy SEAL had a race through an obstacle course against a chimpanzee.
Okay.
A world-class sprinter had a 100-meter race against a giraffe and a zebra.
Okay, maybe I've seen that. That sounds familiar. Against a
Is
giraffe
this streaming anywhere? Can we rewatch this
like,
stuff?
Not Netflix. I feel like I've seen the giraffe one. Racing a giraffe? Did he win?
He beat the giraffe. He lost to the zebra.
Interesting.
A sumo wrestler had a tug of war against an orangutan.
Okay.
And a group of 44 dwarfs lost a race against an Asian elephant to see which could pull a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 jet the farthest. This was on Fox. This happened in 2003. At the Wikipedia page, I found out that they did a Fox, a Man vs. Beast 2, And that aired in 2004.
Yeah.
And there was also a six-part series filmed for England, like a British version, that never got aired.
Okay.
We got to wrap. Man versus Beast 2. I just got to know what the events were, Man versus Beast 2.
I'm watching Kobayashi against the giant bear eating hot dogs. It's incredible. The bear is just wiping the floor with him. Not even close.
All right. That's it for us. We're back Monday. Go USA. Beat Canada. Right?
Yes.
All right.
Very excited.
We'll talk Monday.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.